Around the world, more and more governments are relaxing legislation on the use of cannabis, both for medical and recreational purposes. But how much do we know about how to grow this formerly black market crop? To find out, reporter Ailey Dolgin headed over to a cannabis factory in Canada, only the second country in the world to legalise the stuff. His goal? To find out how science could help.
So if you can tap your card.
Oh boy,
you're going to be tapping your card a lot.
In a suburban Toronto strip mall, past a barbed wire fence and layers of electronic security, sit rows upon rows of cannabis plants. Welcome to TerrAscend, one of 129 licensed cannabis producers in Canada.
You're right to Ghana.
Ari Unterman, the company's head of business development, shows me around.
The first room we're going to is our mother and veg room.
This is where the company keeps its stocks of different cannabis plants. The varieties each have distinctive names like CBD Godbud and Shishkaberry.
The yield on the Shishkaberry is about 15% better than the CBD Godbud. But as we grow these more times, we're learning the right food recipe, light, environmental controls, amount of time in each phase, etc., etc.
Those aren't the only scientific studies happening here at TerrAscend. A few months ago, the company teamed up with a few local academics to run a series of experiments altering the plant's genetics. One of those academics, Shelley Lumba from the University of Toronto, normally studies a parasitic plant called witchweed. But with cannabis getting legalized, she jumped on the chance to study a different kind of weed instead.
This is a natural place for us to try to maximize our skills and into a commercial plant.
She and her team are now exposing cannabis seeds to chemical mutagens and looking for DNA changes that benefit the plant in some way. Those mutations may confer disease resistance, or they might yield chemical profiles that are better for patients. It's a fairly basic experiment, but one that could have a huge impact for an industry that has lacked a solid scientific foundation.
The industry struggles mightily for just real information, reliable information.
Mike Dixon is a plant scientist at the University of Guelph, home to the largest agricultural college in Canada. He laments the fact that many growers continue to operate as they've always done, cultivating cannabis in much the same way as they did in basements and warehouses during the plant's black market days.
They're basing a lot of what they do on what they know, which is not founded in sound scientific principles. And some of it is just remarkably silly.
That's beginning to change, though, because of the global trend toward legalization. And nowhere is there more money and opportunity for cannabis science than in Canada, where, starting on October 17th, the plant will be legal for all medical and recreational purposes. Legalization has brought with it government support and financial services, both of which, says Shelley Lumba, put the country in a very unique position.
Canada is perfectly situated to be pretty much a driving force when it comes to research and development for cannabis.
The goal for scientists and companies alike is to produce high-quality, industrial-grade cannabis that's consistent from plant to plant. This should ensure patients get the same dose from one cannabis prescription to the next, and that recreational users know what they're putting in their bodies. Some researchers, like Lumba, are focused on meeting these goals through breeding and genetics. But others, like Dixon, think that there are better places to focus their scientific efforts.
We can take genetics and blow it out of the water.
For the past 20 years, Dixon has worked with the Canadian Space Agency to develop systems for growing food on other planets. Now, he's applying some of those same technologies to cannabis, starting with fine-tuning the lighting conditions.
The spectral quality of the light is imperative. You really do have to figure out what the physiological response of the plant is to this color, because it's different than it is to that color. And the implications in interpreting the medical benefits are profound.
In addition to light, Dixon is also testing how best to modulate temperature, humidity, and ambient carbon dioxide levels.
So if you homogenize those four major environment variables, you can't lose. The plant must do what you tell it to.
So there's 660 plants drying in here.
going to be dark in here until I turn on the sun.
Back at Terrace End, Ari Enterman walks me, somewhat backwards, through the last two steps of the cultivation process. Amidst hundreds of plants hanging upside down, he explains the three key elements that affect the quality of cannabis.
The genetics going into the plant, the growing conditions, and then the drying and packaging conditions.
Finally, Unterman takes me into the grow room, where I'm immediately struck by the glow of the high-pressure sodium lamps.
Wow! This is where magic happens. But you can tell, nice, healthy plant, nice color green, pretty robust, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
But really, there's so much more. With advances in genetics and agriculture, the cannabis industry is entering a new phase of science-driven R&D. And after years of black market breeding, this weed is becoming a true horticultural crop.
That was Ailey Dolgin reporting from Canada.